Okay, we're going to continue with DOM. Yesterday we started talking about XML parsing. We went through the SAX parser, which is an event-driven parser that calls handlers for all types of events that we may see in an XML document, meaning start of an element, text nodes, end of an element, so that we can kind of quickly parse the content without having to read the whole document, load the whole document in memory. But as you're saying, the better API for advanced use is the DOM, document object model, that will allow us to load basically the whole XML document into memory and create an in-memory tree structure, which is really a graph, but it's the basic structure is tree, that we can traverse. And that's what we're going to be going through today, looking at all the, or some of the important functions or useful functions for traversing. But you could also use that for creating a document and storing or change a document and then store it back to a file, XML file. Since yesterday, I modified some of the slides a little bit. So if you downloaded the PDF yesterday, you may want to go back and download the PDF again. There are some small changes. Among other things, this one is new. I'm sorry about the confusion with the message that Depty left here. So some should have been here, but I thought it was canceled because there was a cancel note there. But that was the other database course that's canceled. So I'm here today, unfortunately, for those who left. But next week, there won't be any lecture on Wednesday because this whole area is going to be used for all new students. And Friday, I'm away. So there won't be any lectures on Wednesday and Friday, which means that you have a lot of time to work on assignment 5. That's the way to learn XML APIs, is to actually use it. And as I said yesterday, I realized that this might be a big one, a lot of things to do. So this will give you more time. There is no lab hours, though, in place of these lecture halls, so you need to find places to sit and work on it. And also, as I said yesterday, the assignments for me, the assignments is for you to experience and explore the APIs and the technologies we deal with, because the only way to learn the skills of using these APIs and programming XML and programming databases is to actually practice it yourself. And because of that, if it's convenient for you, a good way for you to learn is to collaborate, that's fine. Just be quite open about it, who you worked with when you submit your assignment or your report. And I also had a question about Git. Is it okay to leave the Git project public and open? And to me, that's okay. Meaning that other students may have access, but again, be fair. So if you read or use material, wherever it is, if it's some of your fellow students or something you find on the internet, just include that. And okay, there is a gate here that you need to pass, and if I find that someone is trying to cheat, then we have to deal with it. But I basically assume that it's your interest to work on the assignments as well. And again, if it's helpful for you to have public repos, use public repos. If you try to get away with a minimal workload, then you're going to have an issue and a challenge in the exam and other places anyway. So I think that try to use sources, electronic sources, whatever we do use here in the lectures, to try to understand the technologies that we work on, because that's the purpose of this the course. I will do a little bit of shuffling to compared to what I've been doing previous years, because the next week's Wednesday lecture is cancelled. So I'll do the schema on Friday and next Monday, because the two other topics that would be in this XML part, which is JSON and non-relational databases and XSLT, are technologies that you should be aware of. But those aren't crucial in this course. If you look at the course description, these aren't as important as the schema and as XPath and DOM. Those are the three really crucial XML technologies that we deal with. So the XSLT and JSON. So what I'll do is I'll produce some resource videos and point you to tutorials and material that you could read and work on yourself to be a little bit familiar. Because you should know about them, know what they can be used for, the overall characteristics, but I don't expect you to be experts and use them in depth. Yeah, seriously. Any questions about this? I think on the calendar system, the Friday lecture is still on, but I'll ask them to remove it so that it's clear from the calendars that, as well, that there's no lecture on Wednesday and on Friday next week. So, we started yesterday on the DOM, the parsing, and we started talking about the DOM objects and interfaces. And this is where we'll continue today. I'm just going to go back to what I was saying yesterday, is that there is a class hierarchy inside the various implementations of DOM. So if you have DOM in C++ or C#, or in JavaScript, whatever, it's still the same. So you have a class hierarchy with DOM node, and here you have the various types: DOM document, DOM element, DOM and I never figured out, everything has a full name except DOM atter doesn't have attributes, so I don't know why they designed this way, but this is the one that's abbreviated, DOM atter. The other one else is the full name. And you have DOM text. These are all specializations of the DOM node. And the DOM document type, we'll talk about this next week, or sorry, on Friday, when we talk about validation, because the document type definition specifies what is a valid XML format, or the valid format for this type of document. And then, as I said, the element text, and then this strange adder, which is a variation for attributes, C data section, entity reference, and some more. But these are the ones that you're going to be seeing most often. Comment processing instruction. This is the building block. And I'm kind of a data structure freak or nerd. So I like this node structure. It's a very, very, very well-designed node structure. So it's a building block for a tree. And it's basically pointers or node references here. So the node itself, this is the DOM node specifies the structure. So it, first of all, it has a type. So it might be a document or an element or an attribute or text. DOM node itself is abstract. You can't create a DOM node because it's abstract. You have to have one of the special types of nodes. So in this case, it's an element node. I just put up element there so it's clear from when we draw the structure. It's clear what the structure is like. And then we have some attributes that tells what type of node it is, what is the name of this node, what is the value, because attributes have values, text elements contain values. And elements typically have attributes. An attribute is a map of attributes. What does it mean being a map? Well, it's a list of elements where you have a key, which is the name of the attribute, and a value. That's why it's called a map. So it maps the keys to values. So that's kind of the general data that you have. But then comes the tree structure. And this is what I think is very clever design. So each element has a pointer to the, point to the parent. So in the tree, we have references to the parents and parents to parents. So it's easy to go up the tree. So from any node, we could just follow the parent nodes and get to the top of the tree. So traversal up is very easy. Then if you want to go down, you have first child and last child, meaning that you can go to the first of your children, and then you can go with next and previous sibling. You can go sideways. So you can either go to the first and traverse to the next siblings, or you could go to the last and traverse to the previous siblings. So it's very nice in that from any node you can go to the neighbors next to you, or over you, or under you. But only the first and the last, because otherwise you will have to have a different structure. And you also have that. You have child nodes, which is the whole set of children. So if you would like to have a node list, you can get the child nodes. But the basic building block is this node structure. And I think it's very good in that it allows you to quickly traverse the tree. And the it's not a graph because of these pointers here. So you can go sideways. It's not a tree, sorry, it's a graph, because you can traverse sideways. In a tree, you would only be able to go up and down, traverse up and down. In this case, you can also go sideways among the children. So, sorry, the previous sibling will not be set for the first child of a node, because sibling means that they share parent. So even though you have many nodes, let's say we have a document A, B, 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 C, 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 C. The sibling pointers, sorry, not here, these are between different parents. Sibling pointers are between siblings, meaning they share parents. These ones share parents, so that's why we have. And then we have first and last. This one, we don't actually have pointers, but they all have pointers to the parents. So there are quite a few pointers, and besides these pointers, they all point to the document. So here you have the document. And the document has a document element pointer, and they all point to that document, all of them. And this is important because a node can only exist in the context of a document. So because of that, the only way, we'll look at it later on, the only way to create a node is to have the document create a node, because the document owns all the nodes. It's not possible to take one node here and put in a different document. You can't do that, because they all nodes are owned by this document. They can only exist in this document. So if you want to copy data, we will actually have to create new nodes in a new document and copy data. We can't just take a node out and put in a different tree structure. We'll come back to that. So this is the the extended tree structure. So the basic is a tree because we have the first and the last child, and they all have pointers to the parents. So that's the basic tree structure. Then among siblings, we also have these previous and next sibling references. Attributes are only defined for elements. And in the case of elements, attributes will be a kind of a separate map that maps the various attribute names or to the attribute values. And we can, but these are also nodes, so we can also go through the type and the type and name and value of attributes. So, if you look at the API, and we can come back to this, but let's just have a look at the, I don't know if, is it just readable, or is it too small? So this is the PHP DOM manual. So the DOM section of the PHP manual. And here we see all the different nodes. We see the DOM attributes, see data section, command, document. And down here we have the big mother, DOM node. And if you go here to DOM node, now what you see here in PHP is mostly standard DOM. So these attributes and these methods you're going to find in any implementation of DOM. There are some that are convenience functions, special functions for PHP, but not so much on these ones. It's more on how you iterate. So here you have the node value, node name, node type, parent node, child nodes, which is a list of children. You have the first child, last child, previous sibling, next sibling. You have the attributes, you have the owner documents, that we have some namespace and possibly prefix in namespace and local name, and text content. And text content of a node is all the text that appear underneath. So if we have A, B, C, D, E, and this one has text, this one has a G with some text, and this one has some text, and this one has an H that has a J that has text. Oops, don't have to see the parentheses. So these are texts. Then text content of A will be all these texts in sequence, in order. So this way we can get all the texts just concatenated. And if we are at the B, the text content will be just this text because it's the leaf node. If we have, there are no, so if we have this one being text as well, then you will get on text content of C will be the text starting with the direct C and then whatever G has. So this is the plain text. All the text nodes, leaf nodes, just concatenated. Is that useful? Sometimes it is, because you can then check if there is any word appearing in this subtree. So you could just do a lookup or search in the text to find if any nodes address a specific word. So these are all standard DOM. So any implementation of DOM, you'll find these member variables. So for any node, if you get a node, you can ask what is a node name, and node name, if it is text, you find that the node name is text. If it is document, you find that the node name is document. But for elements and attributes, the node names will be names of the elements or the attributes. And the node type is interesting because you have different possibilities for types. If you go to the predefined constants, you find the first ones are the various types of nodes. Let me see, was this the very beginning? Yeah. The various types of nodes. There's a constant for element node, attribute node. Now it's not abbreviated, it's attribute node, even if it's attr here. Go figure. I don't know why they designed it this way, but it's the constant is attribute node. Text node, CDate section node. So if we search or in our program, if we get an XML node, we can always find what it is because we could check if the type, what the type is, and based on this list, we can find what type of node it is. And so that's the way to retrieve the type of the node. The methods, we have a normalize method. What does normalize do? Well, it is possible that you have, for the same node here, you have several text nodes, several text children over an element, because in the API you can add a node and you can add a node and you can add a node. You have multiple nodes. What normalize would do is to merge all the text nodes of the same parent, so that you don't have multiple text nodes to deal with. So when you parse, then there typically will be just one text node for each parent. But in the case, assuming though that the text can be concatenated, because if there is an element in between, you can concatenate text, element, text, you can concatenate the two text because there's an element in between. But if they're text, text, text after each other with the same parent, normalize would concatenate them. And then comes methods that you could use if you want to modify the tree. So you can insert a node, and what you have is insert before. So you say this new node is going to be inserted before this one. So if you, let me make a nicer tree. Can take away this one as well. So we have our A. And these are all belonging to document. So A is the document element. The root is a tree, so the root is a root element is the A, called the document element. So if we use doc to create a new node H, and we iterate to this B, and we find this F, then what we can say is on this B is that, or we don't need to actually use the B, we only need the F. We need to be at the B. So the method is on the B, and we insert H, which is new node, before F. That means that it will come in here. Do you follow me? So you have a node, and you say, okay, this new node is going to be inserted in front of my child F, and it's going to end up there. Replace means that we put one node in, and take one node out, and the old one that we want to replace with the new one. Remove child is okay here. We want to remove G, then G is disappearing from the tree. Append child is the one you usually use when you deal with creating new structure, and it will just add H at the very end, append child. You have a node, append child, you just add it to the end of the children. That's the typical. But sometimes you like to insert in the middle or remove something from the middle, and then you use these other methods. This is DOM node. Now, and these are general, but keep in mind that these methods mostly apply to elements. Because attributes don't have children, texts don't have children. So the nodes that have children are mostly elements. The same here. The links here are mostly empty for elements. I mean the first child, last child, and child nodes are empty for mostly document have children, elements have children, but other than that, they don't typically have children. So you don't have that kind of first child, last child, and insert methods. So even if it's specified at the superclass, the abstract class, doesn't mean that it has a useful function for all the subclasses. So that was the DOM node. A node list, we talked about node list in XPath. We said that any query in XPath that didn't compute the sum or count or the aggregates would return a node list. Even if it was just one node, it would always be a node list. So what is a node list? A node list is a sequence of nodes. So it's an array, but you but sequence is important, and you have possibilities to iterate, go to the previous and next in the node list. The node list has basically the two important members. One is the attribute length that will tell you how many nodes there are in this node list. And then we have the access method item that would retrieve a specific node in the node list. If you do child nodes or XPath query, then we do get node lists. We could probably... So if this is... we can just comment this one out. So if we get the... So this is a program that's open a DOM document, which is the assignment example, the ski logs, and it's normalized. You usually don't have to do that when you parse it, because it will be normalized, but just to make sure it is normalized in the case we have been processing it. And then there's an XPath. We don't have to worry so much about it, but we can do echo doc. It has a document element child, and then node. Let's do the node name. What is the child? The name of the root. And then let's see what we. Ski logs. Is this large enough? You can see ski logs? Yeah, you can see it. So that is the name of the root element. So if we do look at child nodes length. Nine. Now, why is that? If you think about, or you haven't looked that much at it yet. But if you look at the, let's see, where is my? Was it locked? Let's see this one. Sorry, it's gone. Let's do this skier logs. Is this? Yeah, skier logs. If you look at the number of children, it has clubs, skiers. How many do we count? One, two, three, four. Why nine? I did mention it yesterday, what the issue is. What is in this document that we don't recognize, we don't see it? It's there, but we don't see it. What's at the end of the line here and here? Character return and some blank characters. What is that? That's a text node, isn't it? So if we, you follow me? So there is, in the XML document, after this m tag, there is a blank, there are some blank characters. What is characters converted to? You have a text node. So if we go into the code and just see what is the, let's say, what is the first item 0 node name. What's the node name of the first node? It is text, because it's the character return and 3 or 4 blank or spaces. You follow me? So if you want to see what the first real child is, in this case we know that that will have to be number 2 or the index 1. So if you try again, that is the clubs. Okay, so the second node is what we think is the first one in the tree, because it's going to look like this. Skier logs. It has text. It has clubs. It has text. It has skiers. It has text. And then it has two seasons with texts at the end. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 texts and 4 nodes, elements, adding up to 9 nodes. You follow me? So formatting, now I did normalize, didn't I? But again, normalize is removing empty texts and merged text that can be merged. This text isn't empty. We don't see it because it's blank, it's spaces. We do see the line, the new line, but we don't think about the new line. But there is a new line, and there are some blanks that we don't see, but they are still in our tree. And when we process, sometimes we have to remember to check. So let's see if we try the here. We can then do, let's see, the node type. Let me see, the node type is 1. And that's a good, and that's a standard in DOM. So then we have to go and look at what 1 is. Well, this one was the element. So if you go back to here and check the first one, what is the node type of this one? Oops. It's 3. And 3 we find is this text node. Hopefully that would save you some headache when parsing or working on the assignment, and you don't get the results you expect. Remember that in the tree, whenever I had added a formatting character, some blanks and some new line, they're going to appear in the tree as text element, or text nodes. Yeah. Then we talked about the named node map, and the named node map is typically where we have attributes. So a node list would be just a list, a sequence of nodes, but a node map would be an associative array. So here we have the length, and we can get what the named item. We can either get an item, in this case, that will be the item at a certain place, or in this case, if you know the attribute name, we can get the attribute node for that name. Both cases, we do get an attribute node as a result. Let's go back to the tree, or no, sorry, not this one. So if we open clubs, and the first club has an attribute. So if you look at, let's see here. So the first child has child nodes with text. So we can do this. So this is the first grandchild or the first child. You follow me? So this is clubs, and this is then the first club. Attributes. And that attributes had, let's attributes, item 0, and then this would probably be not be echo print R. Let's see if you can get this out. If I did it right, so it's the document, the first child is not the text, the first child is not the text, and find the attributes, and the first element in there. Let's see what that is. So if I didn't do anything wrong, there should come something should come up here. Okay, so it's a DOM
of attribute, and the name is ID, the value is Oscar's key. This is the owner element, and it's, we don't see the pointer to it, but there is some document element or some element in the tree. So this is the node name, node value, node type, parent nodes. So you follow what happened?
So we and the clubs, we had text, and we had club, and that club has an attribute, ID equals
Oscar's key.
And the club has some children, the name of the club and the city and the county. You follow me? If we go to the tree.
So we have ski logs, which the document points to this one. So when we do go to the document element, this is this one. Then we find the first child, which was the text. It's not the text, it's the first child. And then we find the first child, which is not the text here. And then we see it has an attribute.
And what we do in this attribute
is that we get the attribute is a now is a node map that where we have an the ID and or sorry the name of the attribute and the element, and the element is a node, and the node in this case would be an attribute node, and we can get access to the attribute.
So if we go back to the manual, we have DOM named node map, and we see get named item. So that means that it should be possible to change this to get named node, wasn't it? I don't remember. Sorry. Where's the mouse? That's get named item, sorry. Get named an item, and then we put the name of the item, and in this case it was the ID. And we get the DOM object. You follow me? So with name node lists, we can iterate based on index, the item index, and get the whole node there, or we can iterate based on the name of the attribute or the name of whatever is in the node. But typically these named node maps, they are typically used for attributes. So these are the three building blocks. We have the nodes, we have lists of nodes, and we have named node maps. Named maps, which means that we have a key value pair. The key will be the name of the attribute, and the value will be the value of the attribute. And node attributes was the one we used to get access to it. Okay, I think this is probably where we have a break. Now, if we were to draw this wild net of links, how would this tree look like in memory when we parse it to DOM? You can make, if you have some piece of paper, you could try to make it. It's not very large, but there are some nodes in there. Try to see how it looks like, and then we can see jointly. Okay, should we try? So, what DOM nodes do we have here? Where do you want to start? Should we start with three or the overall? There is a document, which is a DOM document. No, it has, we haven't talked about it, we'll come to that. It has a document element. We looked at it when I did document element, I got the document element. Okay, so that's a node. We don't worry so much about this for now. That document element, how does it look like? Well, it has a type, and it's an element. Let's just do it this way. Element. What's the name? Yep. No, the name of the element is not action. That's the value of attribute. Name of the element is DVD. DVD. And the type is element and doesn't have any content because in this case it just have children. Okay, so what's the parent? Well, it's most likely this document. What's the document? It is this document. What is the previous sibling? It's grounded. What's the next sibling? It's grounded. There's nothing there. No previous, no next. First child. It has a child. What's the first child? now comes the trick question. What's the first child? Let me give you a hint. There are three of them. Three children. That's the first, that's the last. Yeah, so it's a text. So we have a text here, and we have a text there. And what's the value? It's caret return plus some spaces. And same here. Value is caret return plus some spaces. Not very exciting. And then we have an element. And what's the name? It should be node name, node type, node value, but I just abbreviated to name here for convenience. Name of that one is name. Doesn't have a value, but it does have a child. And how many children, I say a child, how many children would name have? It just has text, so there would just be one. Text where value equals die hard. Die hard. That's the first, and that's the last. This one is parent, this one is parent, this one is parent, this one is parent. This one is next. This one is previous. There is no previous here. This one is next. This one is previous. This one is grounded. There's no next. And the same here. You have no next, no previous, no first child, no last child. And then what you're missing is what you mentioned is here we have attributes. This one doesn't have attributes, so this one is kind of empty. And this one has attributes, which is a named node map, where we have the key category, and it points to an attribute where the name is category and value equals action. And then all of these guys have pointers to the document they came from. And this one has no previous, no next, no first child, no last child. So that is kind of the structure. You see these building blocks? You have first child, last child, previous sibling, next sibling, parent, document. It's being reproduced everywhere. And then we have the maps here where we have attributes. That's kind of on the side. So is this a tree structure? Not the way we think of trees, because here you have references to something else, and here you have references between nodes in the tree. So it's kind of a tree graph, if you want. Kind of similar to what you were drawing? No. Okay. So this is the structure. And when you know this structure, then if you have a node here, you can basically go everywhere by just following the links up and down and sideways, and you end up in some place. Okay. Then we'll take a break, and if there are big differences, then look at the differences and try to see why, what you missed, and see if you can remember it the next time.
Yeah.
Navneoppslag, så vi skal kunne spørre attributter med navn I kategori, sant? Get named item, men du bruker kategori, så det ligger en sånn der index, så det bare index inn I den mappen, det du som vil Dette noe, så stort kategorien, for det navnet på elementet kategori, og verdien action, og dette attributt. Sant? Beklager, jeg skriver ikke alltid pent. Jeg skriver sjelden pent, det pent. Sånn at vi skal se på dette nå, når vi programmerer det, så har vi en XPath-objekt, en egen klasse I PHP, og den klassen kan vi kalle metoden query på. Og den query blir samme som X'en I JavaScript-konsolen.
Så du har sett på litt å jobbe sammen, og sett på litt på en query som for eksempel på W3C-tutorial, da.
Ja.
Og der det litt sånn SQL-lignende, du kan si det litt SQL-queries-lignende.
Da det X-query, for eksempel, da.
Ja, etter det på XPath.
XPath?
Ja, det står plutselig...
Ja, men det fordi de bruker det uttrykket I et litt sånn større skript, så det sånn type VB-skript eller sånn skript som som de bruker.
Det ikke funket når vi bruker I konsolen.
Nei, det gjør det ikke. For dette sånn Microsoft-spesifikt. Men det bare for å iterere resultatet. Men bruk heller nettleseren til å følge resultatene, ikke sant, som jeg har gjort I forelesning. Så gå heller og se på resultatet, klikk på noden og følge lenken opp og ned og traversere der, tror jeg.
Ja, du har gjort det riktig, sånn. Du bare får jo bare på ene folk bare skriver.
Ja.
40 ganger.
Ikke sant? Ja, så det viktigste bare å ta det med. Men det du kan gjøre at du kan klikke på hver av de skriver.
Ja, det har gjort. Ja.
Ikke sant? Og da ser du hva det inneholder. Og da ser du om det har vært inneholder, ikke sant?
Ja.
Men for å faktisk hende på noe, så det det vi skal jobbe med etterpå.
Men syntaksen til alt det der, hvor finner vi
syntaksen for
å... Nei, alle spørringer og alt sånn.
Nei, altså det bare nett... Altså JavaScript-konsolen nettleser som bruker for det. Men det blir jo... Det går an, og så blir det gått en dagens forelesning. Så kan du ikke gjerne bare programmere det inn I et program, POP-program, for da skal vi se hvordan vi skal kjøre XPath I POP. Så da bare lager litt POP-skript som bare kjører det, og så lister ut resultatet, sånn som jeg har holdt på med POP. Du vet at du bruker det I stedet, så slipper du nære det, men det egentlig, så bruker du bare nettleseren sin JavaScript-funksjonalitet.
Ja.
Ikke sant, så det kommer developer tools, ikke sant, så developer tools, det de som utvikler av programvare for webben, som bruker og skal teste JavaScript-funksjonen sin. Så det bare for å, liksom, tro på enkelt, så kan du bare kjøre og se at flere det riktig, men for å konkurrere på data, så du liksom Ja, I oppbyggen skal du bare kjøre og telle hvor mange resultater det og bare se etter at resultatet ser noe under på produktet. Kan du si at du får det nok ut etter? Ja, helt opp til dere, for det bare utsikker ikke, ikke sant? Jeg kommer til å se på... Jo, men det er det samme som jeg skal Først å finne de som 2016, og så tar det bare not.
Ja, men hvordan skal du ha det inn I nettleseren?
Nei, du lager bare ett uttrykk.
Ja.
Du lager ett uttrykk, og I det uttrykket står det not. Og da betyr det at de resultatene du får ut, resultatene som oppfyller betingelsen.
Ja.
Men hvis du skal hente, du får...
Du kan jo...
Hvis du har 10 som ikke sant? Så får du alle sesonger.
Og så kan du si at du vil bare ha season hvor fall year lik 2016. Sant?
Da får du de 2016. Men hvis du skal ha alle de andre, så tar du bare setter not. Du skal ha season, men hvor det ikke får vi 2016. Da får alle som ikke da får lyst til alle sesongene som ikke 2016.
Ja, det gjorde jeg på en måte.
Ikke sant? Og hvis du har season, hvor fall year lik 2015 and not fall year. Ja, for det står på uttrykk. Da det og det. For det første så skal det være 2015, og for det andre skal det ikke være 2016. Sant? Okay. Eller så kan du også finne alle sesongene blant de sesongene. Kan du jo lage et nytt ny betingelse på det, men hvor det sammensatt betingelse, så det lettere. Det jo
Okay. I had a question during the break about in the first part of the assignment, the expat expressions. What are you supposed to return and give? And as you can see, if you use the browser, then we use the browser console, and the browser console is part of the developer tools, is interacting directly with the JavaScript interpreter of the browser. So when we write an X, and we did root here in the console of Chrome, we are actually asking the JavaScript interpreter to run the X function. And in JavaScript, the X function is an XPath function. And I already created root up here. I said root equals to. So root is a JavaScript variable in the interpreter. So that's how this works. But what XPath really is just this part here. So when you are asked to write an XPath expression, this is what you write. To test that what you write is correct, you need to run it somewhere. And then you can run it inside the browser. And the reason why I demonstrated the browser first is that that's a nice and easy way to get used to the developer tools on the client side. So sometimes when you have HTML, XML document, it might be convenient to use XPath to get content out of it. So you could use JavaScript directly. And secondly, we haven't talked about PHP yet and the DOM in PHP. After today, we will cover DOM PHP today. So after today, you can write all your queries as a PHP script. So you can write answers for 1 to 10 as a PHP query. So in you have an XPath. We'll look at it. And the function is query or evaluate, depending on what you want to do. We'll talk about it. And then comes the query. So you could make a JavaScript with all your queries, and you can use some of the functions that we talk about now to verify that the nodes that you retrieved are the ones that you expected. So you can look at node name and node values, whatever you want. So, but what is important, what is XPath, is really this query. It's really the text string starting typically with skier logs. Skier, something like this. This is the XPath. And to actually execute it, to get the nodes, we need an environment. And that could be in Chrome, it could be in PHP, it could be in any tool we use. So if you have some other, if you are like Python more, you're free to use Python as well. It has a nice XML library that you could use the same thing. So it's up to you. So the root node, this is basically showing again the structure. So we have a node type, this element node, it's DVD, and null. And as we were drawing before, these are the elements. In this case, I skipped the text in front of the DVD and after because I didn't have room for it. So skip it. But I should probably just show you that there was something before as well. That's why I said simplified. I just removed some of the text. Should we do this? No. Is it? Do you want to do this? Spend a couple of minutes? Or we feel familiar with how it all works? We could do it a bit very quickly. So again, we have our document. What is the element root? In this case, it's nutrition. Does it have any attributes? Nope. So it doesn't have any attributes there. And there's no previous and no next siblings. What's the first child? If you skip the text for now, well, let's do text so we remember. There's some text. And the last is also text. So what are the other children? It has only one, which is nutrition, and that's an element. I should probably set, no, sorry, not nutrition. It's daily values. Daily values. It doesn't as an element. This is also an element. These are text and text. And this doesn't have any attributes. It has a number of children. The first is again text. They are so inconvenient, but they are there. Next one is an element, which is has name total fat. It has attributes, and there is just one attribute. So the G key in the node map points to an attribute. Sorry, not units. Sorry, name is units. Units, and the name is units, and the value is grams. And then you have the response. And here, of course, you have pointers back and forth. These are grounded. Sorry, these are grounded. This one has back, forth. These are ground. This is grounded. Same here. Back, forth. This is grounded. This is grounded. What about this element? It has a text child, which is the first and the last text, and the value equals 65. Doesn't have any children, doesn't have any siblings. This one has more, but we ignore the rest over there. You see the point. So this is how it builds up into structure, and they all have links to the parents. And they all have links to the document they came from. So it's a pretty... There are quite a few links, pointers, per node here. And again, we just have to remember the text nodes. Now, if we go into the specifics, you already used this document element. So this document, it's also DOM node. So this one also could have children and could have parents or parent. It could have siblings. They generally aren't. I'm actually a bit unsure about whether the standard says that the child here. I do think that this... the first and last child is to the document element. So in addition to the document element, I do think that the first and last child of document is also pointing to the tree or to the root node. Just test it yourself. I think that's the way. But typically, you just use the document element for it. But you could probably use first child as well. I think that's part of the standard. And the document type, we don't worry about it now, but if this there's a DTD that specifies this the valid structure, when we talk about this on Friday, then we could get the DTD here. These are the interesting and important functions that we use on DOM document. These are the ones to create an attribute, to create an element, to create a text node. Because, as I said, you can't do new text node, DOM text node, because all nodes need to be part of a document. So the only way to create is to actually have the document to create them by calling one of these functions. And then we know that when we create a document, or so if we go ahead and create a text node, text with some text, then it is in the document. It's not attached anywhere. So all the pointers are a kind of null other than the document. And then we would go to an element and append it as a child or insert it as a child. So if you would like to put this one at the end of the
daily values there, then these links are being set. So then the reference to the previous is set to this one, up in there, to this one, and the next is to whatever used to be the next one, and this will going to be the parent that doesn't have any children. So this is how it works. When you create it, it's going to be a node with all links empty, and then you have to put it in the right place in the tree. And they say append or insert in the tree, that's where all the pointers are going to be adjusted. So it's being connected to the graph or to the tree structure. But basically, we use them. This is the way to create. And as you can see, there are two versions. There are ones that are defined within the namespace and those in the global space. You remember we talked about namespace? That's the way to merge and combine various vocabularies in one XML document. And if you deal with namespaces, then we have to have a match on the namespace as well as on the tag name. So the XPath queries and everything else is getting much more tricky when we deal with namespaces, because we have to remember, you can't just check that they're the same local name. You can't just check that, let's say you have an attribute in namespace called name. You can't just check for the name, because the same let's say it's called ID instead. ID, so it's in one document, or it's defined in two namespaces. By saying ID, you don't know which of the two namespaces you refer to. So you need to have the right namespace and the right name for XPath to match. And that means that when we create it in the structure, we need to know what is the namespace. That's why we have the NS versions here. Create attribute NS and create element NS will be the ones where we say this is the namespace and this is the local name. But if you have no namespaces, we can just do the create functions directly. And we can search within the document. We have get element by ID. This function will return 0 or 1 DOM elements, because ID has to be unique. So within one document, there can be only one element with a given ID. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an ID. The whole purpose of ID is that it's unique. So because we go by ID, we know that we're going to find the one or none. There is not any elements defined with that ID. So in this case, we get an actual element, not a node list. We get the actual element. But these get elements by tag name. They will return, the same as in the XPath, they will return a node list. So, and keep in mind that if you have, let's say, skier with first name, last name, we can make it this way. First name, last name, and year of birth. So if we search for last name in the document, we're going to find all the last names in the document. So this is one skier here, and there is another skier here that also has last name. So we get a node list of all the last name elements in the document. And we can do that in the namespace as well. All the last names in the IMT 2571 namespace, for instance. DOM elements. We have an attribute tag name. Do you need it? Well, it's the same as the node name. So, but for convenience, if you know you deal with elements, then they usually call tag names. But this is just an alias for node name. All nodes have a name. And even elements, so you don't have to use tag name. You can use node name, but you can also use tag name if you feel for it. you can check if it has a certain attribute. You can get an attribute of a certain name. You could set the attribute, and you can remove an attribute. Why can't you have add attribute? Why is it set? Why not add attribute? So that you could have a second attribute to the same name as some of the one that you had before. Of course, that's not allowed in XML. In XML, you can't have multiple attributes with the same name. So because of this, when you set one, if it was already set, you overwrite the one that was already there. It's called set, not add. So if you had set it before and you set it again, then you will overwrite the old one. So these are to deal with attributes, because only elements have attributes. That's why here, so here in the element here, the total fat element, you have an attribute called units. So when you have the element, you can ask if it has a units attribute, and you can get the attribute value for the units, which will return the G, and you could set it to tablespoons or cups or whatever. Or you can remove it. So here, if this is element, then you could refer to one of the attributes in the node map. And then we have the same search functions as we have for the documents. We can call get elements by tag name and elements by tag name namespace. And so if you are here on the skier and you call get elements by tag name, it will look for all descendants, for all in the subtree under. So we'll see if are there any last name of skiers. And here there is one. But even when there is one, there is the name of the function is elements by tag name. Because it could be more, we don't know if there's one or more, so there will always be a node list, and you will always, if you know that's just one, you will always have to do item zero, which is the first in the node list. It's a good practice, though, to check if you indeed have one first before you access it. Because if the node list, if they had no last name, then this will break. So it's good practice. We're going to talk about this on Friday, because when you have a schema, then the schema can do all the testing to make sure that all last names are in place. So you don't have to put that into the code every time you access last name. You have to check, is last name defined? Because then you can see the schema. All skiers need a last name. That's the purpose of the schema, to guarantee that it satisfies the needs. And if it breaks, then you don't have to worry about it, because if it breaks, it will break in the general validation. But this is the purpose of the schema, so we'll talk about this on Friday. Okay, get elements by tag name. Is there an XPath equivalent to get elements by tag name? So let's say you will want to find all elements by tag name food. How would such a query look like in XPath? If it has an equivalent. No suggestions? Is there no path in XPath that could do the same? Sorry? You don't need to do predicates, no. So if you have this nutrition and you have food, children, get elements by tag name, what does it do? It goes through the whole and this one have children. It goes through the whole network and finds, or the whole tree, and finds all food elements and return them. How can we do that in XPath? Exactly. /food. It would search the whole tree for anything, any element called food, exactly. Which brings us to the point that we said that / descendant, don't be lazy and use it when you don't need it. And we talked about when would you need it? If you don't know where the food is. If you know that the food is child of nutrition, then it's better to do nutrition / food, because then you don't need to search the whole tree. Then you look for nutrition and find the food children, nutrition, nothing else. If you do / food or get elements by tag name, by default, you're going to search through the whole tree, or if this is called on an element, the whole subtree of that element. So use XPath and or iterate to the children in the tree, much more effective than using get elements by tag name where it's not necessary. In the example code, I do show how we could use it though, because that's one of the functions and it has its place, but be as specific in XPath or in the traversal as possible to save a bit of computational power. DOM attribute. It has two attributes, name and value. So the name is the name of the attribute, value is the value of the attribute. Again, you have node name, node value on DOM node. So these aren't really necessary because you already have that from DOM node. You inherit node name and node value. But if you don't want to write node in front, then you could do just name and value. That's fine. That works as well. No methods defined on attributes. In addition to the DOM node general methods, though, because they are still there. May not always be giving you an interesting results, but they are still defined. Now, using the DOM in PHP, I've been showing you a little bit already, and of course, this is the manual. Keep it open. So if you go to the go to the manual. You find here the XML manipulation, you find the DOM and all the DOM functions and everything. There is this simple XML here that was the first XML implementation in PHP. So you will still find sample code using simple XML. Don't use it. Use DOM. That's the standard. So once you get used to it, you can recognize DOM in any programming language, and it has much nicer design, and you can use XPath, so it is much better and much more efficiently implemented. So use the full DOM, and I expect you to use that at least for the first assignment. You have to use DOM. That's the task. But you'll find examples using the simple XML as well. But it's no there are no good reasons for actually using it, I feel. Yeah, and keep it there and look up the signatures for methods and the various classes. I did upload a couple of sample XML files in the resources page on Blackboard. So if you go to resources, and I have there a section for resources used in lectures, and there is the nutrition file is there, and two examples of XML documents, PHP documents, that one would traverse and one would create an XML document, a nutrition document. So that's where some of the example code that I'm showing you now is from. And if you want to run it yourself and manipulate, you can go there and just download the zip file and play with the code. And as always, the only way to learn this is to actually play with it and use it and get familiar with it. So, creating the DOM from a file, as you could see on my on the example I was using before, you create a new document and you load a DOM document, and then you load a file into this document. Two steps. You create the document, DOM document, and you load the file. And if the file doesn't exist, then you need to handle the errors. The URL
maybe a file, or it could be an HTTP or HTTPS kind of a reference. So if you really want to process content out there, you could just type in a URL and get an XML file from anywhere else and process it. Now, if you have this nutrition document, food, 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 and then under food you have the fat and vitamins and name and manufacturer, all these attributes that describe the food and the nutrients. How can you iterate this? And the nice thing with the DOM is that there are so many ways of doing it. By thinking back to what we talked about today, any ideas how you would iterate? So the idea is that you need to go through all the food elements, and from the food elements get whatever information about the name and nutrition in the program. How would you actually iterate the tree? For loop, but what would be the input to the for loop? The next sibling, yes. So you could find the first one, and you could do a for loop in next sibling. So you could find the first one and do the next. What you have to remember is to skip all the text elements that are between. So for each node, you have to check, is this an element or not? Is this food or not? So you can iterate, and you just check that this is the right type of node within the nodes. That's one thing. You could also do called child nodes on nutrition and get all the nodes. That would be a node list with all the child nodes. You could use get elements by tag name, and the advantage of using get elements by tag name is that text nodes aren't elements, so you just get the elements of the right tag name. And you could use XPath. Advantage using XPath is that you could then say, I'm only interested in the node children, or sorry, food children of nutrition, no deeper down, and nothing else but food. So XPath is nice in that you get a set with only the nodes that you're interested in, and is efficiently executed because you're just going to look for the ones in the right place. Just look a little bit at how this can be. Let's see. So, how do you do iterate the children? So you have the child nodes. So all elements, and in this case, it will be a node. And in this case, the node will be the document element. So you, from the document, you can get the document element, which will be the nutrition. And from the nutrition, you get child nodes. That will give you all the children. And you go through the children. And then you process. And as I said, in the processing, it might be that you need to eliminate text nodes. You may have other than food nodes. So if there was, so there might be text, there might be comment, there might be an element called non-food. What do we know? So if you only want to process food elements, then the first thing you do here when you process child is to make sure that you have a food element. If it's anything else, it's not element type, and it's not name food, node name food, then you can just disregard it. I somehow feel that this is easier to implement than what you proposed, which would be you go to the first child, and as long as the child has siblings, you process the child, and you go to their next sibling, which is what you propose. That's the other way. I think this is a little bit more compact, so more natural to iterate this way. And you can also do for each. You don't have to do I1 to less than child length. You could do a for each in PHP. That works as well. So I would typically do children node, child nodes, and for each, children as child, then just do this. But you can, as I said, you can go to the first one, and then you go to next sibling, and in the process, again, you will have to say, Is it food? Then I'm going to continue. If it's something else, I'm not.
And in PHP, as I said, you can use for each. But you could also use get elements by tag name.
So say here, elements by tag name, which would return only the elements. Not, this will not be returned, this will not be returned, this will not be returned. Only elements and name food when you do get elements by tag name.
But again, I would rather use XPath. Say, give me all the, let's say, /food. If you're here, then food children of the current node.
Because in XPath or in DOM, PHP DOM, you can use XPath. Two functions, you could do query that will return a node list. So you could say, so if you have document element, docl, you can do query. And what would you query? You would query for the food children. Food? That's all you need to do to get all the food children. And then you could do, so that would be elements equals, and then it could do for each else as L, and then you can process L in here, which will be the elements. So very straightforward, very, very easy way to get to it. So here, elements will be the nutrition food, if this is the document, because if you don't say XPath, if you don't say, it will be from the very top of the document. And from document, nutrition is the first node. So that's why you have nutrition, from the top document, nutrition, food. But you can use a context node as well. So if the context node, sorry, so I should, yeah. It should be the, sorry, it should be the XPath. And the context node, that's the syntax. The context node is docl. I was just messing up here. So XPath query, and then the food and the document element is where you want to search, start searching. Because that's what you do here. Why do we have evaluate? Because there are XPath expressions that don't return node lists. Which are those? That's where we ask for count or sum. If you ask for the count of something or the sum of something, then we need to run evaluate. So this is what we have here. Sorry, I should have evaluate. This was, let's do it here then. So if we, so we create the XPath. And let's try to echo, and then we're going to do XPath evaluate. And what can we do? Well, let's count the, so it's skier logs. Oh, you can do so. This is on the top, skier logs, skiers, sorry, should be a capital S. Skiers, skier. So if we count this, sorry, that's right, capital S, skier. So we evaluate the expression counting, skier logs, skiers, skier.
112 skiers. In, I give you a hint for the assignment. In the assignment, you are to sum up all the log entries for a certain skier for a certain year. How do you do that? You can iterate all the elements and sum it up, or you can use XPath to sum it all up. You have the skier, and you have his log, and you can sum up with a properly configured XPath query. So sum it up is easy. You don't have to have any for loop, anything. Leave it to XPath. So again, XPath is a tool. We don't have to use it, but if we make use of it, we can make our life simpler. I'll fix this slide. This one didn't have the evaluate call, just the echo. That doesn't say much. And then, how do we get node content in PHP? And if we have the question here is about elements, because if you have an element, so for instance in skier, we have first name, and then we have a text node with the value. Sorry, let me just do value. Rune. This one, the value of a node is null, or just an empty string. Sorry, it's just an empty string. Elements do not have content. Elements have children. They don't have a value per se. Now PHP breaks a little bit the DOM standard in saying that we will assign the value here to be the same as the text content. Remember that we have text content? Text content will gather any content, any text underneath this node. And text content will be the proper thing to do. Value is empty, but if you look at the DOM, PHP DOM manual under element, if you look at let's see here the does it say here? No, maybe it is in it's probably here in DOM node then. I don't remember where they say stated node value. So node value, you see here is that contrary to the specification, they in PHP they actually will put the node value as the same as text content. But don't do that, because that's non-standard DOM. So use text content instead, which is what the specification specified, that text content is going to be for all the children, all the whole subtree. Node value should be just the value here, and the element itself does not have any content. It only has children. So I would suggest that you don't use value, node value, on any elements. You rather use text content like this. So the name, you get the node list, and you get the first node, and you get the text content. That will give you the text stored under the children, or under the first child, in this case. Attribute values, you check if an element has an attribute, and if it does have it, you can just get it. Very straightforward. And we talked about this before. How do you go forward to add nodes in DOM? So first, remember that you will have to create an element, and that will have to be in the context of a document, and then you create any child content, text or any children, and you append them, and then you append that element with all its content into the tree at the right place. So it's it is create node, add any children, set any text, put it into the tree. That's the process. So if you go to one of the example files, you can see that being done in a larger basis. It's basically you say you're going to start by creating a document. Create an element food, and in the context of document, and you create a child called serving, and you and in the serving, you set the attribute, and you set a text node to the attribute, and you append the attribute to the food element. You see? So first we have to create an element, we have to create text, and then we create one element, and it should have a child with text. So we create a child and set the attribute, we create a text that we append to the child element, and we append the child element to the food element. So this is how we build up. We create the node, the child node, the text, attach the text to the child node, attach the child node to the node, and then we attach the child to the document itself, gradually building up. So that's the way to do it. Now in this exercise, you won't be doing any changes to the XML document. We, in the assignment, we just have to read and parse XML content and put it into the database. So you won't be exercising this. It might be an idea to spend a little bit of time on the example here and be familiar with how you create as well, because it's equally important to be able to create as it will be to read. And in the assignment, you don't have to create anything. So I think that was, deleting elements. If you have an element and you would like to delete it, how do you go forward? Well, you have to ask the parent to delete it, because there is no unlink or no method that you can delete a node. So, but you can have the parent remove you as a child. So that's the way to go forward. So if you want to remove all the nodes in the node list, then you go through and go to the parent and ask them to remove yourself. So nodes, parent node can remove node as the child. How do we store this in the file? We can call save XML to store it in a text, and then we can store the text or return the text to the client, or we can save it into a file and then give the file name. So save XML, we generate an XML text that we can either save into file or return in to a browser, or we can actually store it on a file and then return the URL to the file if you want to. Resources, I've put that up on Blackboard as well. Of course, you have the DOM manual, but there is a tutorial, DOM tutorial on tutorials point, that I think you might enjoy. And then there are some example codes on the Blackboard. This is the intro to DOM. And with this, I hope that the most important thing is to understand that structure with links to the first and last child, links to the next and sibling and previous sibling, link to your parent, link to the document, getting attributes. And if you understand that structure, you can iterate everything. And then XPath is nicely linked and integrated, so you can evaluate any sum or count function and from any, and you can start from any context node, and you can get node lists by putting up the XPath. So use XPath and iterate and navigate through the structure, and then you can quickly get the content you need in any case, and also in the case of the assignment. Okay, if you have questions, problems with the assignment, of course you can talk to the TAs.
but I will also be here, and you could drop by my office or just send me an email if you have problems. Thank you.